Welcome to The Randy Report. I'm Randy Slavacek, your host. I'm also the writer and editor of therandyreport.com, where you can find me every single day on the internet reporting on the daily news cycle in terms of politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. I'm also proud to share that I've been honored this year by the GLAAD Media Awards with a nomination for Outstanding Blog. In this week's headlines, more details emerge about the cause of death of Oklahoma teen Nex Benedict. LGBTQ icon David Mixner dies at the age of 77. The percentage of adults in the U.S. who identify as LGBTQ has hit a new record high. And good news, major parts of Florida's hideous Don't Say Gay law have been nullified. All that and more in this episode of The Randy Report. As I previously reported, Nex Benedict, a transgender Oklahoma high school student, died under mysterious circumstances following an assault from several older girls at school the day prior. This week, the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner in Oklahoma issued a report concluding that Benedict died of suicide as a result of ingesting a lethal amount of Benadryl, a popular antihistamine, and Prozac, a prescription antidepressant. Following that, Benedict's family released additional information left out of the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's report, noting that multiple contusions, multiple hemorrhages, multiple lacerations, and multiple abrasions were found on his head, revealing, quote, the severity of the assault before he died. But it's important to point out that the medical examiner's report does not change the central truth of this tragic situation. Nex was needlessly and relentlessly bullied in a school and political environment that alienated him simply for expressing himself and living his truth. I've seen several social media posts by far-right nuts who say Benedict's suicide absolves anyone else of responsibility in his passing. They say Benedict started the physical altercation in a high school restroom that occurred the day before his death when he, quote, poured water on his bullies. Poured water on his bullies? Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, folks, in The Wizard of Oz, when someone pours water on the witch, she melts. Has anyone checked on the three girls involved in the bathroom brawl? Seriously, I have to say, witnesses have said one of the three girls involved in the altercation banged Benedict's head on the floor to the point the school nurse recommended he get treated in an emergency room. To date, I haven't heard any of the bullies who suffered the pouring of the water having to go to the ER for treatment. It's important to note that Benedict's family members have said in several interviews that he was verbally harassed and bullied for months prior to the physical altercation. Whoever believes bullying doesn't take its toll, especially on a teenager, is seriously fooling themselves. Studies have shown that LGBTQ young people are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide than their peers. The Trevor Project's 2023 U.S. National Survey on the Mental Health of LGBTQ Young People found that 41% of LGBTQ young people seriously considered attempting suicide in the past year, including roughly half of transgender and non-binary youth. So no, there is no absolution for those who badgered Nex Benedict for months for just trying to be who he was. They are indeed, in my opinion, complicit in his death. Following the release of the medical examiner's report, President Joe Biden issued a statement on Benedict's passing, which reads in part, quote, Jill and I are heartbroken by the recent loss of Nex Benedict. Every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Nex Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today. Non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know, but nobody should have to be brave just to be themselves. In memory of Nex, we must all recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Bullying is hurtful and cruel, and no one should face the bullying that Next did. Parents in schools must take reports of bullying seriously. End of statement. Following the widespread outcry from the LGBTQ community and advocacy organizations, the U.S. Department of Education has announced it will launch an investigation into Owosso Public Schools to determine whether the district failed to appropriately respond to alleged harassment of students. According to the latest Gallup polling, LGBTQ identification in the U.S. continues to grow, with 7.6 of U.S. adults now identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or some other sexual orientation besides heterosexual. The current figure is up from 5.6% 4 years ago. When Gallup first began polling on the issue in 2012, only 3.5% of U.S. adults identified as LGBTQ. These results are based on telephone surveys in 2023 with more than 12,000 Americans aged 18 and over. In each survey, Gallup asks respondents whether they identify as heterosexual, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or something else. Overall, 85.6% of U.S. adults say they are straight or heterosexual, 7.6% identify with one or more LGBTQ groups, and 6.8% decline to respond. Bisexual adults make up the largest proportion of the LGBTQ population. 4.4% of U.S. adults, which makes up about 57% of LGBTQ adults, say they are bisexual. Gay and lesbian are the next most common identities, each representing slightly over 1% of U.S. adults and roughly 1 in 6 LGBTQ adults, and slightly less than 1% of U.S. adults and about 1 in 8 LGBTQ adults are transgender. It won't surprise you that overall, each younger generation is about twice as likely as the generation that preceded it to identify as LGBTQ. More than 1 in 5 Gen Z adults, ranging in age from 18 to 26, identify as LGBTQ, as do nearly 1 in 10 millennials, those aged 27 to 42. That percentage drops to less than 5% of Gen X, 2% of baby boomers, and 1% of the silent generation. And here's some good news. A settlement announced this week over Florida's hideous Don't Say Gay law will allow students and teachers to speak about sexual orientation and gender identity in the classroom if it's not part of a lesson. 2 years after the passage of the extremely vague legislation, the settlement announced this week will clarify what is allowed in Florida classrooms. As a result of the settlement, instructions will be issued by the Florida Board of Education to all school districts, making clear that the law, 1, does not forbid conversations about LGBTQ individuals, 2, does not block the implementation of anti-bullying initiatives based on sexual orientation and gender identity, 3, does not prohibit the formation of gay-straight alliance groups, 4, does not extend to library books not used in classroom instruction, and 5, does not apply to books with incidental references to LGBTQ characters or same-sex couples. Since its passage, the Florida measure became a template for similar Don't Say Gay laws in other states, including Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, and North Carolina. In response to the announcement of the settlement, Equality Florida Executive Director Nadine Smith said in a statement, quote, "We made a promise to LGBTQ families, students, and educators across the state to ensure that they received equal dignity under the law and to protect our schools from a censorship agenda that harms the education system as a whole. Florida has already endured nearly 2 years of book banning, educators leaving the profession, and safe space stickers being ripped off classroom windows in the wake of this law, cynically targeting the LGBTQ community. This settlement is a giant step toward repairing the immense damage these laws and the dangerous political rhetoric has inflicted on our families, our schools, and our state. The message to school districts, superintendents, and teachers alike is clear. Protect every student and respect every family. One of the most influential LGBTQ and HIV/AIDS activists and political strategists in the LGBTQ movement has died. David Mixner, 77, was a longtime formidable presence in both Democratic progressive political circles and within his beloved LGBTQ community. He died at his home in New York City this week, and the cause was complications of long-term COVID. Mixner became nationally famous because of his friendship with former President Bill Clinton, but his activist career encompassed far more than that. Mixner grew up in poverty, in a home without indoor plumbing, and he sympathized with all marginalized people. His involvement in politics dates back to his teenage years in New Jersey, where he volunteered for John F. Kennedy's 1960 presidential campaign. He then went to the Deep South to work in the Black Civil Rights Movement. He soon became involved in opposing the Vietnam War. He met future President Bill Clinton during a retreat for supporters of a moratorium on the war. He came out as gay in the 1970s in response to anti-gay campaigns by entertainer Anita Bryant and others. He and his then-partner Peter Scott were leaders in the effort to defeat California's Proposition 6, also known as the Briggs Initiative, a 1978 ballot measure that, if passed, would have barred gays and lesbians from teaching in the state's public schools. They persuaded former Governor Ronald Reagan to publicly oppose the measure, and it ended up being rejected by voters. Mixner became heavily involved in AIDS activism in the 1980s. Among other things, he helped draft legislation to help California respond more effectively to the crisis. In 1987, he participated in one of the first AIDS protests at the White House, when Reagan was president and many were disgusted with his administration's insufficient response to the epidemic. He and others believed government would be more responsive to the needs of the LGBTQ community if that community was represented at all levels of government. Towards that end, he and other activists founded the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, now known as the LGBTQ Victory Fund, in 1991 to help elect out candidates to office. As Bill Clinton ran for president in 1992, Mixner was his top advisor on gay issues and the first out gay person to have a public-facing role in a presidential campaign. After Clinton was elected, one of his priorities at the urging of Mixner was lifting the ban on military service by gays, lesbians, and bisexuals. Clinton ran into heavy opposition in Congress and eventually reached a compromise with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, under which LGB service members couldn't come out, but the military wasn't supposed to seek them out either. Mixner spoke out against the policy, resulting in a break with Clinton and the president's allies. In 2015, Mixner told Variety, quote, "They made it impossible for me to work for 4 years. I was banned from the White House, but interestingly enough, I didn't get much support from the LGBTQ community. But that's okay, because I had to do what I thought was right." He eventually reconciled with Clinton. Later, he pressed President Barack Obama to lift the policy, under which the armed services had continued to seek out and discharge LGB troops. In 2010, Congress passed and Obama signed legislation ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell and permitting these members to serve openly. Mixner also helped organize the National Equality March for LGBTQ rights in Washington, D.C. in 2009 and worked for marriage equality. He wrote extensively about his life and career, including the memoir Stranger Among Friends, published in 1997, and several autobiographical one-man plays. In 2018, he told The Advocate, "I really believe if we come out of nothing, if we don't know our history, that it's impossible to build a future." In his later years, he received many honors from LGBTQ organizations, such as the Point Foundation and the Ali Fournay Center. Upon his passing, GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis released this statement: "David changed the world forever, and equality would not be where it is today without his leadership, passion, and immense heart and humor. David was a beloved mentor to me and so many other LGBTQ leaders, always pushing for more for our community. He dedicated his life to our community, and now we must strive to live up to his legacy." Rest in power, David Mixner. And that brings me to the end of this episode of The Randy Report. If you enjoy catching up on LGBTQ news in a quick podcast, I'd appreciate it if you'd share it with your friends. I like to think of The Randy Report as the 60 minutes of gay news, only shorter. And remember, you can find me every single day on the internet at therandyreport.com, where I cover the daily news cycle regarding politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.